Okay, Bava Mitzvah Daf Samach Zayin. We start with Amar Rava from Samach Vav. Amar Rava, Rava says, "Havi Yosef Nakamid Rav Nachman." I was once sitting in front of Rav Nachman. He was the one that just said,
he's the one that changed his mind.
Right. He changed his mind. He said that really Asmach Takanya, and then he changed his mind and said, no, Asmach Lo Kanya, even Mishas Matan Maus. This doesn't look good. So he was sitting in front of me. He heard him say this, that he changed his mind. Ubolos Feona. And I wanted to give him a question based on Ona. Okay. Which I guess we're going to get to soon. Ve'odik, and Rav Nachman saw that I wanted
to refute him.
Oh, so it means to respond in some ways. Yeah.
It says here that he was sitting before Rav Nachman when he taught that it was valid.
Oh, that it was valid.
Right, before
before he changed his mind.
Right.
Uh-huh, okay. Ve'odik, and Rav Nachman saw that I wanted to ask something. Chazisan Ilonis. Huh?
And so he showed me a case of Ilonis, which proved his
Ilonis is about a woman who can't give birth.
Right.
So I don't know how that's going to come. Okay, so a cliffhanger here. What's going on? So I said, "V'harei Ona, behold Ona, d'mechilas b'talosi." That when it comes to Ona, a person could say, "Don't worry about it. I know you overcharged me, but you know it's fine." V'lo havi mechila, and we say that that doesn't work. So why are you saying that when it comes to mechila betalos nechshavas mechila, that the mechila of what might be ribis is now forgiven if it's asmach lo kanya? Ve'odik, and he responded, or he noticed, I don't know how to translate ve'odik. How did I say ve'odik?
He took heed of my intent.
Took heed. Hazisan Ilonis. Let's look at Ilonis. Hare Ilonis, a woman who can't give birth, that gets married to somebody, and it was, I guess, a kinyan mekachtos.
Right, he didn't know that she was an islandess.
The husband didn't know that she couldn't have kids. Sometimes a woman doesn't even know that.
Right.
Sometimes it's his fault.
It depends what his resources are. What's his recourse?
An islandess is a woman who never develops the signs of maturity. So at the time he married her, when she was too young, he didn't know that. But then later, she didn't know that probably.
You get married with the forethought that you're going to have kids.
Right.
And then turns out you can't have kids. The question is,
but in this case, we know it's her fault. I mean, not fault.
It's because of her.
It's because of her, yeah.
To mechila, see, havi mechila. So we have instances where you're allowed, I guess that means you're allowed to keep the marriage going?
He doesn't have to return the money that she brought into the
marriage. Okay. Meaning, what's happened, happens. We don't look at it retroactively like it never happened. At least in terms of finances. I don't know what we say for the marriage. So now we have examples in both directions. Oh no, mechila doesn't work. Islandus, mechila does work. Ditznan, as we have from Ebraisa, Hamema, and as a girl who refuses the marriage that her mother and or brothers gave her. Vihashnia, which I believe is a rabbinic erva,
right,
which I guess they did be'isser, midrabanan, but it's still chal, but I guess maybe they didn't know about it. I don't know why that would be a mechila case. V'ha'ilanis, ein lahen, lo ksuba, v'lo peros, v'lo mazonos, v'lo blaos. All of those cases, you don't get to recoup any of the financial loss that was from the marriage. What happened, happened. and that includes Ilonis. So below he says, "Gemara, it's not true."
It
depends. Well, Shnia, yeah. If you're married to someone who's forbidden to you, you can't stay married. Okay. But if it's an Ilonis, he probably could. You just have to marry somebody else to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru or Vu. I don't know. You might have to get married again if it was. I don't know how that works. The fact that there's an overcharge or financial exploitation, that's not a good response, and an islandess is not a good raya. The customer, when he buys something and he overpays for it, he didn't even know it. That he could have forgiven it. he thought that he's paying the right price. Velo island is misayle, and on the flip side, an island doesn't help either, because the nichle de tepek ala shmat ishes. It's better, it's good for her, that she at least was considered married. And therefore what? Even if
she would know that the marriage would be voided when he finds out that she's an islandess years down the line.
Yeah.
She would have wanted to be married in the meantime.
I thought we were talking about his mechila.
She doesn't get the money back.
That's what we're saying.
She doesn't get the money back.
I thought it was the husband has to give the money back from whatever he got.
No, we said the husband doesn't have to.
She doesn't get her repaid. Right, she doesn't get anything back.
He doesn't have to give anything back. That he ate off of her land. Uh-huh.
And we just said there's no ksuba, so he doesn't have to give anything either. Right. Yeah, okay, so all those are bad. Not bad, but they're just not relevant for the case of Rivas, which was by Asmachta Kanya about the Al Tanai. I don't even know if we call it the Tanai. The phrase, after 3 years, you're going to pay me back. Here's a story about a woman. The Amra Leila Hugava said to a man, Zils vainly ara mikrivai. So she says to her, is this her husband?
No.
Someone else, just a woman.
Yeah.
A woman said to a random guy, go buy for me a land from my relatives?
Yeah, she's appointing him as an agent to go purchase this piece of land from
her
relatives.
Azal Zavanla, he went, and he bought it for her. Amarlei, and said, who said?
The seller said.
Seller said to the agent that's buying it for her. Amarlei, I havali zuze mahadrat la nihali. If I get money, meaning the seller says, if I get money, I'm going to want to buy it back. I don't know if it's buy. I don't know if we call it buy it back. He's going to give him the money and get it back. So Amalei at vinavla ache. You and the woman.
It's unclear what navla means.
Navla doesn't sound like it's a good thing, but it's with a vav.
It's according to the note, that's either her name or it just means so and so. It means like plony.
Oh, okay. At vinavla ache. You guys are relatives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in between this. Is that what he's saying?
She will certainly permit you to repurchase.
He's implying. Oh, you guys, it's family. I'm sure it'll be okay. But he didn't say anything. So Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna Kol At V'Nav La'Achei, which is an interesting phrase. Anytime someone says this very specific phrase, anyone a person says At V'Nav La'Achei or anything like that, I guess. He's hoping to get the field back, and he's not actually going to fully relinquish ownership of it in his mind. Right? This is an asmachta. So this is basically saying asmachta lokanya. And I guess in this case, he never got the field. Ara hadra. Okay, fine. So the land goes back. And the money that they gave, it was considered like a loan. So peire mai, what about the fruit from the land that the woman ate during that time? Ribis kitzutza haviv yotzim b'dayanim. Is that considered like real ribis because it's beyond the amount of the loan? O dilma, meaning the money that was transferred, which was assumed to be for the land. O dilma ki avak ribis haviv ein yotzim. Or is it like avak ribis? It wasn't done on, you know, with the thought that this is literally overcharging or extra money. This was done because, you know, they thought it was their land. And therefore, so, it only looks like ribis.
And so therefore, even though it's still usher midrabban,
right, still usher, you shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have eaten fruit. But we're not going to take it away from you afterwards. I mean, we're not going to make her reimburse for it.
She should reimburse for it. But
we're not going to make her.
She's going to force it.
She can if she wants to, but she doesn't have to. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna Mistabra Ki Avak Ribis Havu V'Einos B'Dayanim. I would have thought that also. V'Chein Amar Rava Ki Avak Ribis Havu V'Einos B'Dayanim. They didn't know any better. I mean, they were working under the false assumption, but they can't. You can't. How do you consider that ribis? You could say they should have known better. I guess you could say that, but that would be a lot to assume. Amar Le Bai Le Rava Rava Mashkanta Mai. What if the field was only a collateral for the sake of the loan? and was never given in a way which I assume, which was like a real transaction that I'm getting this land for the money, but rather the land is expressly given as a collateral, not as actual transaction. And never mentioned what about what to do with the fruit. Hasam tam am I? What's the case in the first part, the first one with the woman? Mishum de lo katzle, because it was never dictated in an established way she gets to eat the fruit. Hachanam lo katzle, and here also it never said she could have the fruit or not have the fruit. O doma, or maybe hasam zvine, and therefore it would be avak ribis in this case too, or Odilma Hasam Zvina, over there, it was under the assumption that it was a transaction. They were buying the field. And it happens to be we happen to look at it as a loan. But Hacha is a halva. Here is a real loan. In which case, the extra is really considered extra because it's actually only a loan and was never given as a transaction. So Amar Le Rabba says to Abaye, Tamamai Mishum Hasam Tamamai Mishum Lo Katzbe. Katzle. Hacha Nami Lo Katzle. It was never given over in any explicit way, and therefore, or it was never guaranteed or established that she'd get this extra in any explicit way. And therefore, it's not considered ribis. It's not ribis katsutza.
So it's just avak.
So presumably it's only avak ribis. Amar Rav Papi, avad Ravina uvda. A story came before Ravina. V'chashiv v'apik perei. And he made them give back the fruit to lo krav of Aravuna. Okay, I guess this was probably more like the second case. Rabba Baravuna. Is that the one we just said? Rabba is. Oh no, it's the first one. That's the first. The first case was the woman who gave it as a transaction, right. And then we're assuming that it transfers into a loan. She should have known better, according to Rav Papi, that according to Ravina. About Ravina Uvda. Rav Papi is reporting that Ravina holds that the woman should have known better and not eaten from the field. Now that she ate from it, it's considered like real ribis katsutza. Okay. A little machmir.
Like Rava and
right.
Rava Baravuna and Rava who said it.
Right. Not like Rava or Rabba or Rabba Baravuna. Amar Barbara, Rav Yosef Mishmed Rava, Hamashkanta Ba'asud Misalke. What about a collateral in a place where the loave has these possibility to remove?
So he can evict the lender from the property before the due date if he repays the loan early.
So he says, here's a land for collateral if I don't pay back.
In 3 years.
And then he pays it back.
In 2 years. So
there are places where he gets to keep it for 3 years?
Apparently.
Here we're saying that he'd be allowed to kick him off when he pays it.
Right.
That sounds obvious to me. Why would anyone get to keep a collateral after the payment? No?
I guess that must have been the deal. You know, you can keep the land for 3 years and then you can keep it permanently if I don't repay it.
I wonder.
It's called a prepayment penalty.
I guess so, yeah. You're paying too early. We needed that money. We needed this field. And I guess the guy is working on the field, right?
Yeah.
He's using it. He's benefiting from it. And he is counting on it.
Right.
You can't just come one day and say, here's the money. Get off my field. I've been working on it. I guess he's got to... It's an interesting concept. You have to give them a certain, at least like a 2 weeks notice. Here we're saying you have to give them the entirety of the loan, the entirety of the loan time period to work the field. So the Asr de Masaki, in a place where you could just kick him off whenever time, at any time, Achal Shir Zuze, let's say the Malva actually benefited from the field, the amount of the loan. So Masal Kinan Lay, then he could remove them. Achal Tvei, if he ate more than the amount of the loan, Lomaf Kinan Mine. You're not allowed to remove him. What? We can't take the money, the extra money, the extra. Lo mechashivinan mishtara lishtara. What does that mean?
Nor can we count that extra money toward payment of a different...
You can't roll debt. It over onto something else.
Yeah.
This is exclusive for this debt, and it can only be used, like once you overdraw, it doesn't matter. guy was, I guess he had rights to the land. I don't know. I don't know why we would say that. Why is that not Ribbis? That sounds like a Ribbis case. The guy is taking more than the loan.
I was going to ask that.
Okay. Let's see. Uva diyasme, and when it comes to a loan which is given to orphans, and the collateral belong to the orphans, we do take the extra away. We can roll it over to other debts. I guess we're just more flexible for the sake of the orphans. In a regular case, we don't extract the extra that he ate. And we're saying, if you eat the amount of the loan, you should also not remove him without zuz. Why, Taima? Why would he say that? Saluke below zuze apuke minehu. It's as if you are removing.
That's interesting.
I don't get it.
Rav Ashi maintains that since the lender did not intend initially for the produce to be counted as payment of the principal, it's immediately considered an interest payment. Retroactively considering a payment of the principal is the equivalent of exacting from the lender the interest, which we just said you can't do, because it's only a bach ribbis.
Say that last sentence again. Retroactively.
Retroactively considering a payment of the principal is the equivalent of exacting from the lender the interest that he took.
What?
I think what that means is, if you kick him off the land, what you're effectively saying is, I am considering the fruit to be the payment.
The principal, which is
fine. Of the principal.
Which is fine.
But Rav Ashi says that the fruit is only the interest. Why does that work? If we're saying that the extra that he eats is not reimbursable, because the extra is not part of the original loan, let's say it like this. If we understood that the extra fruit of that field is real ribbis, he's got to return it. Of course he's got to return it. The reason why he doesn't have to return it is because we're not looking at it as real ribbis. We're looking at it as a vak ribbis, which is why we're not taking it back.
So the excess is a vak ribbis.
The excess is a vak ribbis. Now this guy is coming along and saying, yeah, but you took fruit from me, which I'm now retroactively going to consider like the principal.
But we...
In which case, then it's not real.
We considered it like the principal also.
Yeah, no, this is Rav Ashi disagreeing. Rav Ashi is disagreeing here.
Right.
Rav Ashi is disagreeing, and he is saying that the original fruit that we're now considering to be principal should not count. Is that what he's saying? That the fruit should not count towards the payment? If we're going to say that it doesn't count because it's avak, and therefore it's only avak ribbis, it should also not count for the principal. If it counts to the principal, that means that it's ribbis when he eats extra. And the fact that we're not asking for extra for him to pay back the extra means that we don't look at the fruit as a real asset that he owns. It really belongs to the guy who's on the field.
My impression was that a vak ribbit would be something fairly trivial. This could be major.
Yeah, no, a vak ribbis.
I don't think it has to do with the amount.
I understand. That's just sort of my impression.
You're saying because the word avak.
Collecting huge sums. I mean,
yeah, we usually relate the word avak to be like a little bit or tangentially, like avodah zara, avak lashon hara. It's like not really lashon hara. It's in gradation. It's like much less. It's like not as significant. Here, what David is saying is like here in avak ribbis, we're considering it like just not in the parameters of ribbis, but it could be pretty significant. Like the financial loss could be substantial.
Well, the first case seems to view only the excess as avak.
Right. Yeah, no, that's what we were saying. And Rav Ashi is saying you can't say that, because if you say that, then the person can't consider it to be a principal payment.
So I could do this. I could lend you money on a field, and I lend you $5,000, and every year I get a crop worth $100,000, and I keep collecting while I'm waiting for your $10,000. We say this is not interest. It's just a $10,000.
I mean, I think some of it comes back to what were the terms of the loan originally, or the terms of the collateral originally. I think the case that we had of the woman was like nondescript. It didn't say we'd do the fruit. So here also, it's just like you don't know what to do with the fruit. It just comes along with the field that you gave as collateral. So in which case, this is how we were going to assume. If, however, you want to be more diligent about your loan, you would say the fruit goes toward the loan, or the fruit doesn't go toward the loan, it goes back to me, or something like that. So his point is, have avak ribas, avak ribas, any yotzei b'dayanim. Something like that.
The way loans normally work today, the debtor remains in possession, so we would almost never today have such a situation like this, because the debtor remains in possession, the creditor doesn't take possession.
Even if it's considered a collateral, it's a lien property.
I mean, your house is mortgaged.
Can it be seized?
Yeah,
can't be seized.
But yeah, he still has full rights to use the house as long as
until there's full ownership.
Right.
And so, I mean, your car. You have a loan on your car, say.
I do not, but yeah.
Okay, I don't think you say you have a loan on your car.
Yeah, yeah.
The creditor is not using your car in the meantime.
Correct.
So,
well, how's that different from here?
Here, the creditor is occupying and growing crops on the field. People, farmland loans are very common, very old, very common, and the farmer, the owner... The owner, not the mortgagor.
Right, I hear what you're saying.
The mortgagor always.
Right. I hear what you're saying. I missed the step. In American liened properties, it's liened for the end of the loan, not the duration of the loan. It's seized at the end of the loan, not at the duration.
it's not like a mashkon where.
Right, it's not a collateral. That's a. I guess Mashkon
inherently
functions differently.
The
in halacha, that's always the case.
Yeah, I hand it over to you and say.
The only thing comparable in contemporary society is a pawnbroker.
Right. You give it to them to use until they can sell it or something, and then you give the money.
Well, no, until you default. Sometimes pawnbrokers will just buy things outright, but if you borrow money. From a pawnbroker, from a pawn shop.
He
hangs on to it because he doesn't trust you to come back.
Right.
That's a real collateral,
He hangs on to it
until you get your money back. Until you get him the money.
Until you pay your loan.
Right.
He doesn't have any right to use it.
He has no right to use it.
He can't use it like they do for a mashkon. Okay, so now Avad Rav Ashi of the Yisomim Ketanim. Rav Ashi is dealing with a case of Yisomim Ketanim. Gedolim, but he treated them like Gedolim. Okay, is that the end of the sentence? We're not going to get more explanation of that. And therefore, they didn't get their stuff back? Is that what he's saying? Yeah, I guess the... the fruit is going to be considered the Karen. And he's not going to give the Yisomim any money back? I guess who was getting the field? The Yisomim took out a loan, gave a land for the loan. The lender who's using the land as collateral is also using the land and benefiting from the fruit of it. Rav Ashi said that they can't take the land back even after he ate all of the produce until they still have to pay back their loan, just like he would say for a gedolim. Amarava, Bered Rav Yosef Mishmed Rav Ahai Mashkanta Basud Misake Lo Necho El Men Nachyasa. Right. That's Rav Ashi. That's Rav Ashi's second opinion. Lo Necho El Ben Nachyasa. When you have a case of a mashkon in a place that you remove the guy from the land once it's paid off, so then they could only eat benachyasa. What does that mean? Ella ben Nachyasa. Rava, no? I didn't skip. Amar Rava, Bereda Rav Yosef, Mishmeda Rava, Hai Mashkanta Basin Masalke, Lo Nechol Ella ben Nachyasa. They can only eat in proportion to the loan. Is that what it's saying?
It says, unless he arranges a yearly reduction of the debt. So if I eat $100 worth of fruit this year, then the debt...
So as opposed to what we were just saying, you can't just eat as much as you want, and then, you know, the extra you don't have to, you're not on the hook for. It's got to be in direct reimbursement of the loan. V'tzor b'midrabanan, afilo b'nachyas lonechel, he shouldn't even eat at all. I actually don't know. What do you do with the fruit?
It belongs to the owner of the land.
Do you like ship it to him, deliver it to him every day?
This is just
you like sell it and get him the money somehow?
This is just so foreign that the creditor... Right.
Well, I would assume that he would have to... I would assume what it's saying is that the...
Lender.
The owner of the land...
The borrower.
Should...
He'd have to be, okay.
And keep his favorites.
Interesting, okay. So that's more like a home loan, like we have today. You get to use it yourself.
It's also like a farm loan today.
Right, I guess I just it's not like familiar with farm loans. Yeah. Ella b'may nechol. So then what's he supposed to eat? What does that mean, what's he supposed to eat? Eat from your own stuff. I don't know, what does that mean? What's the question? Ella b'may nechol. When is there ever a way to eat? Why does there have to be a way to eat? Maybe he just doesn't eat. I'm not sure, but kitsusa, he can still eat from anything that they had established during the collateral transaction. We'll talk about that. That makes sense according to the person that says you can make such an arrangement. According to the one that says you can't make such an arrangement. So my equilibrium, what can you say? Di'itmar, as we say in a brisa, I guess. Kitzusa pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chad amar kitzusa sharia v'chad amar kitzusa da'asira. Hechidami kitzusa. Thank you. We should have started that way. What is a kitzusa? So the kitzusa is the amar lei, the lender says to the borrower when he's giving him, when he's taking the collateral, ar chamesh shanin achilna la below nachyasa. So this comes back to David's point. You have to make this explicit at the time of the transaction. And for 5 years, I'm just going to use this land. It's going to be mine. When you give me this collateral, I'm just going to use it for 5 years. And after 5 years, I'll consider the fruit to be in compensation for the loan. Little by little, in small portions. So, ikadarmi alternatively, kol below nachyasa aser. Aval hechidami kitusa de amar lech ad chameshanim achilne benachyasa mikan veelch shayem nalakulu pere. The case that they're arguing, but everyone agrees, it's aser to eat without deducting it from the loan. What's the case of kitusa that they argued about? The case is, if he said, until 5 years, I'll eat b'nachyasa, and then afterwards, I'll pay you everything.
This for the first 5 years, is less than the average value of the crops.
What?
So this first 5 years...
The first 5 years,
it's a fixed deduction. It's a fixed...
Is that what that means?
That's the explanation.
I thought that meant... I mean, yeah, okay, fine, but it's deducted from the loan. You're just saying that it's a limited deduction.
Loan, but it's
you can't take all of it.
Full value,
right, you can't take all of it. Okay, fine. So then we don't see that in the words, but that makes sense.
The explanation.
Yeah.
It's not in the words.
Yeah. Mikan ve'elach, and then he says to him, and afterwards I will give you all the fruit, meaning after it's paid off and it's completely deducted, the loan, I'll give you all the fruit from that moment. Does he still have to pay back the loan?
I mean, all of this discussion seems to reject Rav Ashi. Or maybe it's consistent with Rav Ashi if you explicitly agree to it.
Yeah, no, explicitly, it sounds like if you make it explicit, it's to the exclusion of that whole discussion. Like, I think Rav Ashi and Rava and Rav Huna, they were all talking about when it was nondescript.
Right.
That's what I'm going to assume for now, just to make it easier.
That's what I thought.
Here with this Kitsusa agreement, so then it's working on its own within its own standards. So I'm not really sure what's going on here. The machlokas that we had, Rav Acha and Ravina, is to say that this arrangement is mutter or usser. Why would this arrangement be usser?
The arrangement, the whole arrangement is, for every year of possession, a creditor must allow a fixed deduction from the debt, even if the usufruct in a particular year amounts to less. So basically, there's a fixed deduction, and it now looks like rent rather than, and that's the way I'm interpreting
it. It's basically like, you got a $1,000 loan, every year it goes down $200 by using the field.
Right.
Regardless of how much the produce is.
Right. I mean, I would tend to agree with that logic. Because it removes it from the category of loan, turns it into...
But then does the guy still have to pay for the loan?
No, this is a deduction.
This is the deduction of the loan.
Right.
So then what's going on after 5 years?
Then they want to change that to, you know, it's going to be the actual value of the crop. Is that your understanding?
No, but what does it mean? After 5 years, if you deduct it...
It's not a fixed deduction anymore.
It's not... Okay, I was assuming, probably wrongly, that the five-year deduction was only 5 years because that would pay off the loan after 5 years. You're saying it's not. For 5 years, you've got a $50,000 loan. And every year for 5 years, there's going to be a $2,000 deduction. You've still got $40,000 after 5 years. Okay. And then the full price of the produce is going to be paid off.
We'll go toward further.
Right, as opposed to a standard deduction, it's going to be, and that could be worse.
It could be better, it could be worse.
It could be better or worse. If the produce doesn't amount to that $2,000 worth, so then you're getting less every year than you did for the standard deduction.
Right.
Alternatively, if it's more, so you could pay it off pretty quickly. Okay, interesting. I didn't think about it that way.
Now, the first one, in terms of interest... Rebate seems totally legit.
I don't see how would there be any ribbis here. You're only ever deducting from the principal, yeah. So what's the problem with why would it be usser then? Does it look like ribbis or something? Right? One of them, Rav Ach or Ravina, says that it's usser. I guess we're gonna get to it. Man de usser b'kamaisa, the one who says it's usser for the first case was where you're just going to be able, the guy's just going to be able to eat for free.
Right.
So that's usser, because you're just eating in compensation of nothing. You're just getting extra. So that's someone who says, there's someone who says usser. But then Shari b'Asar Isa, the second case.
Rejecting the whole idea that this is dismissible as mere avak rebeat.
That could be one way to look at it. It could be another idea for it. It could be actual ribbis. I don't know what he said.
What
I don't know why it's usser, but it says it's usser.
He's doing it as actual.
Right. Could be like actual ribbis, yeah. Shari b'Bas, right? But however, that opinion that says the first one's no good would say the second one is good, because in that case, you're deducting it straight from the principal. It's an agreed upon arrangement. Man d'usser b'Bas, right? Hechi shari l'michal. Someone who says it's usher in the second case. The second case is that this is as good as it gets. When would it ever be okay to eat? I mean, I don't know why we're assuming there has to be a case where it's okay to eat. But I guess there's some kind of assumption that there's some way to eat. There's some way for the collateral to be eaten.
Talking
from.
About, right? We said that the normal person can eat, but the Surah Rabbanan should avoid.
So this is the death?
Same case?
We're only talking about a rabbi.
The creditor who is holding the land as collateral gets to eat from the land until the thing's paid off.
Right, it makes sense.
Well, the question here is whether or not the fruit goes towards the loan.
Oh, yeah, that's the question.
The fruit must go in
and,
some
in
way.
The second case, it's all going towards the loan. So why would there ever be a problem with that?
Well,
that's part of the discussion. We're assuming it's not part of the interest, but there's somebody who says it's no good. So now we're assuming that maybe the reason for that is because it's interest. We don't know. We haven't seen that. So now the question is, if it's usser to do it in a way which is only ever deducting, so then how could you ever, if that's no good, so when is it good?
How can you make it good?
Right, how could it ever be good for the creditor to eat from the field? Says the way, Shari, ki mashkanta desura, the way that they do it in Syria. Surah, not Syria. Right. Wait, isn't Surah sometimes Syria?
Isn't
Surah Syria, as opposed to Surah. Sorry, Surya is Syria. Surah is the place of the yeshiva.
In Baba.
In Tanakh, Syria is Syrian, I think.
I'm saying in Gemara, I think it's Surya. Either way. So, Mashkanta de Surah.
Yeah, town in Baba. Surah is a town in Baba.
Right. De Kasvei Bahachi. What's it called?
Fallujah.
That's Fallujah?
That's Surah.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay. I see that in the news every once in a while.
Baghdad was probably a Jewish town.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. I don't know what's...
Baghdad was a heavily Jewish
city. Yeah, no, for sure. I just don't know when Gemara uses these names. I don't know which one's which. Right. Tikasvi Bahachi. In Surah, they write like this on the loan. Be'mishlam shnaya ilain tepuk ara da b'lo kesef. After these years, the land's just done. You just get it back.
With no payment.
As if to say it's been paid off.
You had your use of the land.
Even with limited deduction?
You had, my impression is you had the lender had the use of the land, and but whatever that, he got.
What if it's like $1 million loan?
Well, then don't do it.
It's your problem for using that collateral for that loan. Okay.
Not a very good business.
Interesting. I guess in Surah, you got to be careful.
My impression is that this is in lieu of any arrangements about fixed deductions or after so many years.
I guess that's the case generally, that collateral is not always, often not, in direct proportion to the loan amount.
He says, it was customary for the lender to take the crops of the land pledged to him for a predetermined number of years, after which the loan would be considered paid in full.
Right, you basically use the collateral up.
Right. For example, for a loan of 1,000 zuz, the lender would be given a deed entitling to harvest the field's produce for 10 years. The deed would explicitly state that at the end of the 10-year period, the land would leave his possession without any further payment.
Right, and I guess if he paid it off early, he could get him off the land early. But without that, he gets to keep it for the whole 10 years. Interesting. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brady, Rav Yeshua, Amri Tarvayo, Hai Mashkanta, Ba'asad, Misalkei, Ein Baal Chol, Gova Himena.
You know, that sounds very much like our rent.
Yeah. And that's why it's
good.
Well, it's a rent without a fixed price, but yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the price is overall, you're renting it for $1 million loan. Yeah. So I guess that would be the price, but you're not like...
Well, the rent is the loan amount.
Right, exactly, yeah. However you want to proportion it out or whatever. You're renting it for 10 years at whatever the loan amount is. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Amri Tarvayim, Hai Mashkanta, Basu Nasaki, in a case where you're allowed to remove the guy from the land right away, Ein Baal Chov, the one who's using the land. Oh, wait. The Baal Chov is the loaner, is the borrower. The Lova is the Baal Chov. Is that what we're saying here?
The Lova is the Baal Chov, I think so.
Because usually the Baal Chov is called the one that lent the money,
says,
that you owe the money to.
Here he says
in this case,
Chov is a creditor of the lender.
Oh, it's referring to
the Malveh's
personal Baal Chov.
Right.
Got it. So the Malveh got this collateral.
Uh-huh.
This is getting interesting. The Malveh got this collateral from some Meishala. And now Shlaimala is trying to collect from that collateral of Meishala. And this Malveh, he doesn't have a name, is just stuck in the middle, basically. So we're saying, Ein Baal Chov Govehimena, that the creditor of the Malveh can't come and collect the collateral of the Loveh. So the Ein HaBachor Noto Ba Pishnayim, and a Bachor, basically you can't use this land, it's not your land. Ushvius Mishamta, Misham Matata, and Shvius would
cancel
it out because it's part of the debt. Uva Asr Lomasalka, and in a place where it's not, you can't remove the guy. Baal Chov Govehimena. In a place where you can never move the guy, So the Baal Chov is allowed to take it. I assume that means for the time period, no?
Since the borrower cannot redeem it before a specific time, it's essentially sold to the lender and is considered his own property.
For a certain amount of time.
It is therefore subject to the lien, and the lender's creditor can collect the debt from it.
But only for that time period, right? The Asr Delo Masalki doesn't mean that the creditor gets it forever. It means that you have the 5 years or the 10 years for the time period of the loan. So I would assume, I would assume that the creditor of the creditor can only get it for that amount of time. No?
I mean, that would seem like a logical assumption.
I don't know how else it would work.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that, yeah. Because it's his land at that point. The Amr Marzich Mishmeh Dura Papa Haimash Kishkanta Basar the Masalki in a place where you can remove the Masalki Leva Afil Mitamre de Ubdaya, de Abudya. You can even remove him from the palm trees? Oh, even the stuff that he removed from the tree. I don't know where the stuff is. I guess he didn't bring it into the house yet.
Yeah, he says that they put mats on the ground to catch the dates that fell from the tree.
Even that stuff, he's got to leave it back. V'i ag behinahu besisane. But if he had lifted it.
If you put them in baskets.
In baskets, but he lifted it. I think that's like a Kenyan question. He did a Kenyan hagba. So the besisane in the baskets, so then kananhu. So then it's like he acquired it. Ulamanda Amar Kalev Shel Lokeach Bershus Mocher Kana Lokeach. And according to the opinion that says if the customer's stuff is in the property of the Mocher, the Lokeach can acquire it. I feel the log behinu besisane.
Then since it's his mats.
It's his stuff, he already collected it basically. Stuff. That's like a Mashiach because he put it on the mat. Okay.
Well, it was put on the mat.
It was put on the mat. It's a kinyan chatzer, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like his courtyard is acquiring it.
It falls on the mat.
Yeah. But the point is that because the mat is his mat, there's a certain type of kinyan, which when something falls in your property, it becomes yours.
Right.
And this mat is his property.
Some type of pear tree and the pears fall in your backyard.
It's yours, yeah.
But here the backyard belongs to...
Right, the backyard technically belongs to the borrower.
To the bank.
Whoever, and you just own the mat, which is in the other person's property. So we don't look like the mat. We don't look at it as if the mat is subsumed in that person's property. We look at it as the mat functions on its own. This is this opinion. This is the opinion that says that. Pshita says the Gemara. What's Pshita? Ve'asin misalke ve'amar lo mistalakna ha'kamar delo mistalakna.
But in a place where the customs if you can, they had made an agreement.
Yeah, if they make an agreement away from it, there's no halacha to say that you have to keep to the minhag hamakom here. And you can say, hakamar delo misalakna. There's no question there. Ela ba'asr delo misalke, in a place where you don't, v'amar mistalakna, is the creditor protected by the minhag hamakom? Basically to say, in a place where the person's not taken off the field, the collateral, and they want to make an agreement at the time of the loan, I can remove you from the field whenever I want. So then, my sarach lemiknamine. Does he need to do a special kinyan to get it out of his possession? Olo, or maybe because they agreed on it, that's how it works. Rav Papa Amar lo sarach lemiknamine. Rav Sheshes Bereder of Idi Amar sarach lemiknamine. Vilchaza sarach lemiknamine. Halacha is you have to make a separate kinyan because of the place that you're in. That's not the way of making of adjudicating a loan. So I guess this is what a dina machus a dina question. I don't know why we can't make a separate agreement on the side, but I guess that's the machlokas. Do you need to or not? Does anyone have an explanation about why this would be?
Waivers effective on a debt or anything else that's due to a person, but one cannot waive one's own possession. In our case, the lender has already acquired the field as a pledge in conformance with the local custom, which dictates he may not be evicted from it.
Mm-hmm.
In the opinion of Rav Sheshes, the right in the field is not subject to waiver. Therefore, for his promise to be binding, it must be accompanied by a kinyan. Otherwise, he could retract his word and claim he wishes to conform to the local custom.
There has to be a substantial agreement in a kinyan sense for this to override the local custom. Amar Ezel v'Aisi Zuze, if the borrower said to the lender,
Ezil va'ayse zuze. Go and bring me money?
So stop eating the produce.
Oh, meaning he said, I've got your money, stop
but
taking my stuff.
Actually given the money over.
Right. So lo achil. So then the malvish just stopped eating. Ezil va'atrach va'ayse zuze. If he says, I'm going to go work and try to get the money, to go get the money. Ravina Amar Achil. Ravina says, okay, he's got to still, you know, still actually put the effort in. Umar Zitra Breder Rav Mari Amar Lo Achil. He's going to do it. Hilchso Lo Achil. The point is, when the Lova says, I've got your money, even if it requires a little bit of effort to go get it, he should stop eating right away. I don't know why. Maybe that's like a ribbis thing. It looks like ribbis that you're still eating after basically being paid back the loan. Rav Kanav Rav Papa Rav Ashi Lo Achli Bin Achiyasa. They're Tzor Berberbarans, and therefore they don't eat even to deduct. Ravina Achil Bin Achiyasa. Ravina would eat it as a way of deduction. And he doesn't think that there's an Isser Ribbis there. Amar Marzusha, my time, the Banda Achil Bin Achiyasa. What is the reason for the one who does eat? Which is
Ravina.
Everybody, except for Tzor Berberbarans, according to what we said earlier. In this case, even Ravina would do it.
Yeah.
So then, me to have a steachuza, just like an steachuza. Steachuza lav af agav de ka'achel perituva, even though you ate a lot from the steachuza, Amar Achmana, kaparik lab arba zuze. You can use a seller's worth, which is four zuz, to be poed to the land. Meaning you don't have to give more because you ate fruit. Hachanami loshna, here also it doesn't make a difference. Umanda asar amar lach steachuza hekdashi. Rechmana okme apijon. Hashem will, you know, he'll eat the loss. Hashem doesn't need it. But hacha halvahi umechsik ribis. In this case, we're talking about people's actual personal property, and it looks like ribis. Mechsik ribis. Which is why we say regular people could do it. They don't have to, they're not beholden to give back or to refrain from eating from the land as a way of deducting from the loan, because it's only mechzik ribis. If it was real ribis, no one could do it.
Is mechzik ribis the same thing as avak ribis?
I don't know.
Is it even a lower category?
Yeah, maybe it's like a Marisayan thing. I don't know. Avak ribis, I would say that they're different, but the fact that they're using it in this context, and we also use the same phrase, avak ribis, in this context, makes me think that maybe they're the same. But yeah, I would think that maybe Mechzi would be more far-reaching than Avak. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, Shkayach.